Good morning, and welcome to the 888 Holdings Q4 KPIs conference call. I will now hand the call over to Gigi Levy, Chief Executive of 888 Holdings. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Gigi Levy, Chief Executive of 888 Holdings. I'm joined, as usual, by Aviad Kobrine, our Chief Financial Officer. I assume that you've all seen this morning's Q4 KPI statement, and so I'll only briefly take you through the key points and then open it for questions. Most importantly, total operating income for the 12 months ended 31st of December 2008 was up 21% at $263 million. This was underpinned by a 13% rise in net gaming revenue from casino throughout the same period, up to $134 million, and 209%, a very high rise in net gaming revenue from our emerging offering, which now for the first time represents a significant percentage of our business at $45 million. Net gaming revenues from poker for the 12 months to 31st of December 2008 declined slightly by 6% to $76 million. This is, we feel, in line with the general trend we see in the poker market. We also recorded a 24% increase in real money registered accounts to 5.8 million as of the end of the year. Despite a disappointing Q4, we have demonstrated tremendous progress during 2008. The prolonged and deepening economic downturn and volatile adverse foreign exchange movements meant unprecedented trading conditions for us following the end of the summer holiday season. Players played less, and we recognized lower revenues in U.S. dollar terms, an effect mitigated by a tighter cost control given the high proportion of costs denominated in non-U.S. dollar currencies. To clarify this, as I'm sure you'll all want to have some question about that, think of a U.K. customer who spent £100 with us in July and continues spending this amount throughout the year. While in July we would have recognized $200 of revenues, in Q4 the same £100 were less than £140. Luckily, many of our costs, including employment costs and media costs, are denominated in non-US dollar currencies, hence our ability to maintain profitability. Operationally, we have done quite a bit in the last quarter. We've released poker in 11 new languages, launched 888 Sports in one additional language, and integrated the PayPal payment system to our existing wide choice of payment methods. Third-party games integration also continues and has reached a total of 22 integrated games, with many more to come in the coming year. Overall, the group has continued its transformation from a pure B2C-focused organization to a world-class B2B end-to-end gaming solution provider, a milestone of which was the 2008 deal with Sportech, which is now up and running. We've also announced additional bingo deals and today announced an additional casino and poker deal, only in line with our strategy to grow our B2B market share. These achievements have all contributed to 888 staying on track to meet or exceed our full-year 2008 clean EBITDA market expectations. 2009 has begun positively, especially in casino, poker, bingo, and live dealer. Those of you that know what we're offering would know that that would only mean that sports has been a bit weak. In comparison to December 2008, the weakest month of Q4, new customer recruitment has increased by more than 20%, net gaming revenue by 10%, and deposits by 4%. All are good indications. The most important one is the growth in new customer recruitment, which is the fuel that pushes the company forward. Our promising B2B pipeline has also continued its momentum of 2008, and we expect to see a few additional deals signed in the coming months on top of the one signed in January. Our pipeline for 2009 is promising, and financially we remain robust with approximately $100 million, 99 to be precise, cash equivalent, of which $33 million represent liabilities to customers and no debt. This position leaves the group in an excellent position to exploit M&A opportunities when they become available, and there are a few deals we're looking at. As such, the board remains confident about further progress during the year. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I deliberately kept it short, as I'm sure you have questions. I will now hand back over to the operator, who will run the Q&A session.
Thank you. The Q&A session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take questions in the order received, and we will take as many as time permits. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Ivor Jones from EVO. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Two things, please. You've talked about the benefit of currency from currency on costs. Can you talk about underlying costs? Are you removing headcount? Are you finding media costs are lower? What's the underlying picture for costs? And secondly, when you talk about acquisitions, what sort of scale are the deals that you're talking about, and are they conditional on anything else? Are they conditional on reaching a settlement with the Department of Justice? Thank you.
Thanks, Ivor. So in terms of the costs, the overall costs of the company are mostly, at the end of the day, headcount and media. These are the big costs. Then we clearly have some other costs in the area of IT, but these are the two main costs. On the headcount side, we did not do any headcount reduction. That's to answer potentially part of your question. We are looking, though, to grow the business in 09 based on the same headcount, more or less, which is like downsizing. On top of that, other than enjoying the benefit of the people that, for example, make money in pounds or in euros, this is less in dollars, just like the revenues are less in dollars. We've also moved a significant part of our development to an offshore location, which is significantly lower than our cost today. And plan to continue looking into cost savings across the business. That's on the headcount side. On the media side, we see a reduction of around 30% in overall media costs across Europe, which we, in a way, hope will continue declining, because that enables us to bring more customers at the same expenses, which is clearly a key for this year's growth. So from that perspective, while the overall negative impact of currency is significant, there are some good angles to it, especially on the cost side.
When you're talking about media costs, is that the same as your cost line marketing expense? Are you including only traditional media in that discussion, or are you also including CPA costs from affiliates?
No, it's a good question, and unfortunately the answer is not very simple. The most significant decline we see is in the media cost of traditional media. So you go to newspapers, you go to magazines, you go to television, that's where you get the most reduction. Then if you go to online marketing, specifically display banners, you also see a significant reduction. You see less of a reduction in search engine marketing, especially in Google. We just started taking online gaming ads, and therefore the prices are still probably rising a little bit as more and more entrants try to take advantage of this new direction. And then on the affiliate side, there are two elements to it. The first thing is that some affiliates are being paid in euros or pounds, and therefore their cost is going down as well. And in general, we don't yet see a full flow through of the reduction in media to the CPA prices of affiliates, but there is some softness on affiliate costs in general. Having said that, our plan for 2009 is to not reduce marketing spend. It is actually our belief that, just like what happened when the U.S. market closed, and I think we entered this crisis with a much smaller market share than what we have today when the crisis is over, most of the reason being that when everybody else declined from marketing and from investing, we thought that this is still a growth industry, and although we were hit quite heavily, a lot more than today, of course, we decided to continue investing, and that proved itself right. I think that our strategy at this point is to continue investing, both in technology, in new gains, in new B2B contracts, and also in additional marketing and penetrating new markets. Overall, while clearly this will develop along the year, our overall plan calls for marketing to increase throughout 2009 as the business increases and not decline. Hopefully with that money we can do a lot more than we could do last year. Does that answer the question?
It does, thank you, but it makes me think of another one, which is, will you be increasing marketing in the UK, and can you still get a positive return on marketing spend in the UK? Or do you need to move outside the UK more aggressively?
Well, I think you know the way we work pretty well, and we don't have sort of big decisions like that. We simply measure every return on every campaign and decide based on that. At this point, what we're doing in the UK is still very profitable, and therefore we'll continue doing this. I think it's going to be a very challenging market for people that need to build their presence or their brand in the UK. I think that for companies like us who have potentially the most known online gaming brand, well, that's by research, the most known online gaming brand in the UK, there is still a lot we can do exploiting the fact that we're introducing new products, exploiting the fact that we have some interesting new activities, etc., that we're very much going to leverage. I think it was quite clear in Q4, for example, we don't separate our B2B and B2C bingo business, but I can tell you that also our B2B, also our B2C bingo business did not suffer as other parts of the business, simply because it's a new direction, leveraging our brand into a new segment, into a new type of service, and we'll definitely continue doing the same thing with the right products, with the right marketing in the UK over the next year as well.
Okay, thank you.
In terms of the acquisitions, at this point, while everybody asking about consolidation, and I'm sure I'll have many questions about that, the acquisitions we're talking about are smaller size acquisitions, those that we can do with a combination of our cash, some cash that we can still take from banks if we want, and not significant equity. There are a significant number of companies out there that would probably find the downturn a lot more challenging than we do. We're already starting to see many of these looking to be sold, looking to be bought, and some of them would be great additions to our business. Some of them would bring us lots of advantage on the B2B side. Some of them would give us good presence in new markets or new segments on the B2C side, and we are currently planning to probably do at least one or two this year, if possible.
That's great. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you want to ask a question, please press star 1. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal for questions. We will now take a question from Andrew Lee from Dresdner. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Three questions, if I can. Just you give a run rate in terms of current trading this year relative to December. If one was to do it on a year-on-year basis, would it be fair to say that it's somewhere between 5 and 10% down? Can you just give us a quick steer on that? In terms of DOJ, is there any further info or insight you can give us into your views on timing, and whether you're as sort of positive as we saw from the party gaming update last couple of months ago? And then just on the you're saying you're on track to meet or exceed full year expectations for EBITDA. Can you just tell us what your view as to what that number is, please?
Sure. Let's start with the third one. It's going to be, well, I'll actually take them third, first, second. Expectation, the market expectation that we have as analyzers is around $54 million clean EBITDA. And later on we can explain how we got to this, but this is the number. That's just factually. In terms of the comparison between quarter on quarter Q108 to Q109, we did not give precise numbers, and I'm not going to do the calculation exactly in my mind right now. But yeah, you are right in saying that Q109 run rate is still below the Q108 run rate. However, we're seeing growth, and especially the growth in new registration, make us think that we'll be able to cover for a lot of that. Last but not least, on the DOJ front, I cannot comment on somebody else's deal, and nor do I have any opinion on this. It is just our feeling that things are not incredibly imminent. In other words, we do not feel that it's a good time for us to come out and say that we know when a deal is going to be struck and how. We are, like everybody else, waiting patiently to see what's developing with our counterpart, and clearly that they've stated that it's going to happen early this year. We would be delighted for this to happen. We're not very, very sure about dates ourselves.
Okay.
Still, the overall progress is positive. I think the direction is positive. I think we'll see. We've just heard Barney Frank over the last few days, and I think we'll see a lot of flexibility on the U.S. front in terms of potentially legalizing, regulating online gaming, especially on the poker side. And that clearly will have also, I think, some impact on the potential past liabilities. But overall, nothing of this, to my knowledge, is immediately is very imminent. I'm deliberately a bit vague because I can't comment on anybody else. We can only comment about ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thanks. And just on the if you strip out the bingo side of the business or the emerging offering, are you seeing any discrepancy between UK revenues and those in Europe?
As you can imagine, being that Q4 was challenging, and you know us a little bit, we analyzed every figure to death.
Yeah.
In every currency, in every direction, in every. And so, if we take and neutralize currency impact, so we take currencies at the original deposit just to see what's happening to the underlying business. Then I think that the UK was slightly hit more than Europe at the beginning, but that's sort of to the joy or not joy of Brits, this is sort of leveled in general. So the impact has reached Europe as well, although it was earlier in the UK. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks. Thanks very much.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. As a final reminder, if you want to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As we have we have a last question from William Birch from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. This is William Birch from Jefferies here. I have just two questions. I was wondering if you could tell us on the M&A front, if deals potentially in the private space, if prices are becoming more realistic, as well as finding more willing sellers. And also, on the B2B side, can you tell us a bit more about the deals you're targeting, which markets are most attractive, and whether we will see any more Sportech-sized deals in the first half? Thanks.
Sure. On the M&A side, definitely we're seeing some realism sinking in, both on the prices side, on the willingness to sell, on some of the dreams being, like everybody's dream, being put down a little bit. And that's why we think that in the short time it's going to be a great time to do these acquisitions. I think there has been some great companies that's built great technology or great presence in the market, and throughout 2007 and 2008, at least the first 9 months, enjoyed significant growth. And now suddenly growth is going to be tougher, it's going to require more investment, and many of these companies look and say, well, if I can get a multiple of, I don't know, 4 or 5, then I'm going to be happy to sell my business, being that there's a risk of me not making any profit. So this is one thing that we're seeing. And I think that, that the opportunities are there, and they're very nice companies that we're looking at that we'll be very delighted to end up acquiring. On that, by the way, a question that on part of the question that I think Ivor asked before, none of these deals have any dependency on DOJ settlement or anything else. These are deals that are financed mostly by cash, and these are deals that would always involve an element of earn-out in them based on future results. So these are deals that we can do without having to go through any DOJ settlement, which will potentially get our share price higher, etc. In terms of the B2B deals, we are definitely looking to sign many more deals. The deals that we've announced recently have been bingo deals, which are, some of the bingo deals are fairly significant, like the one, of course, we have with the likes of Foxy Bingo. And we've signed new bingo deals, which we think are going to be significant. Some of them are also targeting other markets other than the UK for the first time, which we like very much. We've today announced that we've signed in January another operator. We've moved to not necessarily exposing these names at the beginning until the operators start working. So we're not telling a name today, but it is somebody focused on Central Europe with a significant presence in European media. Somebody that we think is going to invest quite significantly in building his online gaming brand, and we're very happy with this. In terms of Sportech or larger deals, there are a few of these in the pipeline, and I would be disappointed if we don't deliver at least one deal like that in the coming few months.
That's great, thanks.
As we have no further questions, I would like to turn the call back over to you, Mr. Levy, for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much. Guys, I think one thing which is important for me to say is that we're definitely not hiding behind the currency issue. We at the end of the day, we report our revenues and profit in US dollars, and as such, it is our responsibility to grow this both on the revenue side and the profit side. The reason we're explaining the currency issue, which is the outcome of a very thorough investigation we've done internally, is to give as much transparency as possible. We definitely do not think that this makes it not important to grow, and we're definitely focusing on growing. Q4 was not good, and we acknowledge this, and we're very happy that we're still able to meet our targets and grow at the beginning of the year and hope to grow throughout all of 2009. But it is important for me to say that currency is one thing. We're still aiming to grow even in the current currency situation. There are a few good things that we have in mind. The beginning of Q1, while as stated before, is not phenomenal as it could have been had there been no crisis, is a very positive sign that the market is still there's still room for growth. And that's through January and the beginning of February. The B2B presence, we think we've established ourselves a very good reputation as a B2B provider, and I think we're seeing today some very serious companies and brands that look at us as a very valid provider in this segment. There's clearly one gorilla in this area, and we would like very much to be, at this point, a number two that continues growing in that direction, and this is definitely what we're planning. And on the B2C side, we have huge plans across various different games, peer-to-peer games and house games and community activities and new markets and new territories and segments that we're targeting. All of these are going to happen starting in the coming month with the launch of a live dealer application for Europe, which is going to be slightly different than what others have been doing, and throughout some major changes and new innovative things that we're going to do throughout the year. All of these combined lead us to think that despite the very challenging conditions, we'll still be able to gain market share throughout the year. So thank you very much for listening in, and hopefully all the next calls will be even happier. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.